And if I was to tell you, you'd see my different side. There's things I haven't told you. I go out late at night. And if I was to tell you, you'd see my different side. There's things I haven't told you. I go out late at night. And if I was to tell you, you'd see my different side.
Welcome to It's MMAzing Radio. Here for our second episode. It's me, Dr. Law. With me, we got Kid Presentable, DJ Mark with a K, and Lavender Gooms. What's up,
hello,
boys?
Hello, all you people out there.
Yes, all you people.
All of them.
Hopefully not including us.
This is our Deuce episode. Let's make it quick and clean.
Episode number two. Very excited. It's good times.
Some people said we wouldn't get this far, but we're here. We're still standing. I'm still here. Still strong.
I mean, we're still strong. I don't know about you guys' brackets, though, but mine is completely fucked.
Final four still intact.
How is that possible?
Kentucky, UNC, Marquette, and I forget what's in the other division, but they weren't eliminated.
No, fuck you and Marquette.
Wait, you picked Marquette? You picked Marquette in your final four?
I picked Missouri. Who'd you pick?
I picked Missouri, so.
All right, we don't have to talk.
How smart do I look, right?
All right, in case there's any confusion, this is actually an MMA podcast, not the NCAA We're Fuck podcast. So,
big money riding. Degenerate gamblers, MMA fans, basketball fans alike.
Meh. Boring. Snooze fest. Boringest tournament in the world. I haven't seen one punch throw in this whole tournament. I'll take Bellator any day.
We'd like to know where your head's at, Mark.
Did you watch Bellator, Mark?
No, I just saw the knockout.
Oh.
I don't get MTV2.
And those who do get it don't watch it anyway, so.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All right.
Business topics.
All right. We're going to start off with The Ultimate Fighter.
Woohoo. All right. First official episode. Right? I count this as the first episode.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're just ignoring the thing that happened a week before.
That wasn't reality. That was just in the house.
That was the in fight. This is the first part of the traditional reality series that is The Ultimate Fighter. In the house dynamics, are the coaches going to butt heads or are they going to be as G-rated as they've always been?
Yeah, I mean, that was I thought it was a pretty good episode. The dynamics of the episodes are really going to change now that it's live, even the pre-recorded stuff, because it's now, at least based on last episode, it's more just the build-up to the fight.
Yeah, they still had, I mean, do you guys remember that guy's name that his father passed away? That was kind of the in-house story of the week, and that was good. That's just part of life. That's just good drama. That's just something that everyone has to deal with, and it's unfortunate that it happened when he's on the house and it's a close relationship with his dad. I thought it was really cool that Dana White let him go to the funeral, though. He could have said, nah, you got to be here. You leave, you out. But he had a little heart. I like that.
I mean, can you imagine Dana White being that heartless?
No, I mean, not really. I like to talk shit about Dana as much as anyone else, but I mean, he seems like a genuinely cool guy, and he does seem like he does care about the fighters, and especially the guys in the house. I mean, they're sacrificing a lot to what could end up being nothing. You know, if that guy loses his next fight, he might not get another shot. He'll probably get at least one. They all get at least, like, one shot. But, you know, it could turn out to be nothing. So it was cool. I thought it was nice that he let him go.
Well, we also had – I mean, yeah, that was – I like this version of Tough a lot more so far. You can also see in the because they were airing – Spike was airing – footage of the old Ultimate Fighter episodes. So when I was done watching the new one, I was watching the old ones, and the old ones are way more douchey. Like, it's to put it like that. I just want to seem like I actually cared about a little bit about both those guys fighting more. It was more backstory stuff as opposed to who got drunk and, well, who got drunk. You know, who juiced
and who's
sushi.
I mean, something that you'll see, even though the in-house segments will be pre-recorded, is it's still a shorter editing cycle, so they're not going to have as much time to try to build up these fake storylines, cut all this footage, just because they have less time to view it all. You know, it's gonna be a little bit more organic, I think. Just whatever stories they do tell from inside that house.
Yeah. Also, it was 6 weeks before, and now it's 12 weeks. So I don't know. Maybe they don't have to cram as much stuff in each episode, almost. But I thought they did a really good job so far, and the coach feud was kind of lame. I still don't know why they didn't like each other.
That was so milquetoast and just vanilla that. I mean, I think Faber was just trying to stir something up, and Dominic is there being the perfect gentleman. Like, I'm so sorry, I'm not trying to say anything about your parents.
Yeah, that was. If Dominic wanted to push this at all, he would have actually, like, said, well, fuck you and your daddy. Like, it was really like Uriah's just like, yo, don't bring up my family. And Dominic's like, I'm so sorry. I'll never bring up your family again.
Yeah.
And then really at the end, he felt the need. He realized what he kind of killed the rivalry. He's just like, but I'll say stuff about you because we're fighting. Like, that was the line.
Yeah, it seemed really generic, but I thought it was interesting because every season there's always one coach that's like the bad coach. He's like the heel, and there's always one coach that comes off really well. And I think Dominic's coming off as the coach that comes off really well, especially with, was it Lloyd Irvin? Was that one of the coaches?
Yeah.
I mean, he came off really well in the show. And Dominic just, and the people on his team, everyone seemed to really like Dominic's coaching style. So, I mean, it's hard to see Faber as like a heel and a bad guy. So, I mean, hopefully, I mean, it makes it more entertaining when there's one bad coach and there's one good coach. Instead of having two good coaches, like Mike said, this gets vanilla. It just gets really generic. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it develops and if they should make Dominic more, like, interesting high coach, you know, and Faber becomes like a shithead or something. It seems like, especially because he brought up that article and stuff, it's like, who cares, dude? Your dad did help you.
Let's just hope that the fights are exciting this year, because it's not going to be the interactions between Cruz and Faber that keep us entertained.
That's for sure. Well, let's talk about the first fight. I thought that was a fucking awesome fight. What do you guys think?
I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I just think Vic got completely lucky, though, with that knee.
Yeah,
he it looked like, what was the other guy's name?
Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, yeah. I thought Crenshaw. Crookshank. Yeah. Like Hermione's cat.
Oh, man, that's a geeky ass
reference. How do you like that reference? But I thought Crookshank was doing a really good job negating Vic's range by using his legs and his karate style. But then he shot for a takedown and got crushed. So, I mean, how good was his game plan?
I mean, granted, I said, you know, last week I really didn't have much of an idea of who a lot of these guys were. But just my initial, like, analysis was I thought Crookshank might be one of the early favorites, because he definitely looked like he had a good size advantage at this. I thought he was a welterweight. I did not know we were watching 155ers at first. You know, he had an interesting stand-up striking game. I mean, then, you know, when he got tired, he turned it to a solid wrestling game. But now this dude's just out, blasted in the face by a knee.
Yeah, and like Mike said, I think it seems like Vic got lucky, because he didn't look very good in that fight. He seemed tentative and nervous, and he wasn't using his range very well. And then, I mean, he got caught with that. I mean, it was a good knee. That was a solid knee from a takedown attempt. But I can't see him getting much farther in the tournament. I don't think he'll make it past the next round. I could be wrong. He might win the whole thing, you know, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like he doesn't have a skill set to compete with these guys. He seems most like a boxer.
I mean, what he has is that he's 6'3". He's just a giant guy, and it's going to be up to fighters to learn how to get within that range and grapple those, like, rangy limbs.
Yeah, I don't see him getting very far. What did you guys think about the end when the coaches had, you know, Dominic won, so he got to pick the next fight, and he threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing, making
Dominic look stupid.
I thought Dominic
looked stupid right there. That was really dumb for me, I thought.
Thought Dominic – I thought Faber looked terrible. It's Faber was just so flabbergasted by what happened. And then worst of all, when he asked his team who wants to fight, no one said anything. No one raised a hand.
No, see, that made his team look bad. I think Dominic, like, even Dana was like, no one's ever done this before. Like, not like, oh, my God. It was more like, why'd this guy do this? And I don't. How do you expect your eye doesn't have, your eye wasn't expected to come up with an answer there either. I don't think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There's a lot of strategy when you pick the fights, and he wasn't ready for that shit.
And then I think Dominic picked the wrong guy.
I just think that was. I just feel like that was live TV at its worst in this scenario. It's just a bunch of guys had no idea what to say. It was just a really awkward moment.
I think that's why Dana didn't look so happy. That might have been the reason right there.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, man, I thought that was a genius move on Cruz's part. You know, it just shows kind of supreme confidence in his fighter. But, I mean, you can understand why Faber was flabbergasted, though. I mean, it never happened before.
I almost feel like Dominic didn't expect James to win. So when he won, he knew that he had to pick the fight. He's like, well, shit.
Yeah, that seems more realistic.
Yeah, I want my best guy to fight. Who the fuck should he fight? Fucking Faber, you pick that guy. That's on you now. I think there was two times in the episode where the live part of the episode that came off really bad. That was obviously one of them. That was just like an awkward silence for like 30 seconds where Faber is trying to pick, you know, should he sacrifice one of his weaker guys so he doesn't sacrifice one of the good guys, or should he have one of it, you know, have, like he said, we're going to have the finals right now. We're going to do the finals now, Dana. And he's like, I don't know, you pick the fight. So that part was weird. And then what I thought was really awkward was they had right before the fight started, the coaches kind of talked to the fighters, like a little prep talk. And I thought that seemed really kind of forced. I felt like Dominic and Faber felt like they're on live TV and they didn't really know what to say. So Dominic's like, you're going to have fun out there, right? We're going to have fun. You're going to have fun out there, kid. He's like, yeah, we're going to have fun. Where earlier in the episode, they talk about how he's making them go to war. So the whole war theme, that got blown over. The fuck war. This is fun now. And then Faber was giving him more tactical advice, but it still seemed like kind of like rehearsed or rushed. It just didn't flow naturally like the rest of the show kind of did. I thought that part was a little janky, but they can work on that. They'll get more comfortable doing that, and that won't be so bad. But the live part I thought was cool. Seeing the fights live, and even though I never really know the results, knowing that no one else knows too makes it more exhilarating, you know, that this is happening right now. Who knows what's going to happen? I think having the live aspect definitely brings a lot more entertainment to the show.
I really liked the whole thing. The whole episode I liked a lot. The only one part I didn't like was John Anik interviewing the fighters afterwards. And, I mean, if he has to do it, I guess interview the winner. But don't talk to the kid who just got knocked unconscious. What's he going to do for us?
Yeah, I mean,
and he has to live there for another 3 months. He doesn't get to go home. So
he gets free training. So, I mean, that's not too bad. He gets to train with some good guys, so that's not horrible. But, yeah, like Bobby said, if they're going to talk to the loser, which I agree they shouldn't really do anyways, don't talk to the guy who got knocked unconscious, because he's obviously not going to know what the fuck just happened. It happened like 5 minutes ago. He's like, well, I thought I was winning, and then now I'm talking to you, and you told me I lost. I have no idea what happened. What analysis do you expect from this guy? He's going to break down how he lost? Well, I shot that double, and I thought I took him down, and I was in the guard, but no, I woke up, and Herb Dean's like, you got caught. So I thought that was weird. They might cut that next time. Or maybe it'll just be a weird thing they just do every time, which could be, you know, funny, awkward, which I'm all for.
Well, you got to figure that, much like this show, that show is also a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know, they'll get the kinks out.
I like the whole live aspect, though. I don't know. I think it adds to it for me overall. Like, I'm kind of excited for the fight next week. I'm not sure if it's because of the matchup or because of the fact that it's live and, you know, we can look forward to something that hasn't actually happened yet, because I think Marcelo is going to choke this kid, honestly.
I agree with what Faber said. I think he went with his gut instinct and he made the finals. These were two of the guys who I thought had a chance to be there at the end, just because Lawrence is my pick to win the show, just because I became an instant fan when he validated that he is in fact a Black House fighter. And then Marcelo, he's just probably the most experienced guy there. So,
yeah, Marcelo, the guy he tapped in like a minute was a black belt in jiu-jitsu himself, and Marcelo made him his bitch. So I think
Marcelo
of Lawrence, he shouldn't
is a Hickson black belt. Hickson, top pound for pound all time.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all talked about before how there's black belts and then there's black belts. I mean, come on, Rashad Evans is a black belt in BJJ.
Yeah, I don't know. The guy he made tap was an Eddie Bravo black belt, and I don't know anybody. I mean, the other black belts on Eddie Bravo, I think Sotiropoulos is one. I don't know. I tend to think those guys – I don't think he hands those out for free. He smokes weed with Joe Rogan every day. Joe Rogan still has a black belt.
Do you notice the guys who fight under Eddie Bravo's banners aren't exactly winners?
That's true.
No, but they don't get tapped out.
You know who's also under his banner? Dan Hardy. And we know where he's been standing for the last few fights.
You see Dan Hardy not get tapped out, though? Actually, he did, didn't he? He got choked.
I think you're referring to GSP not being able to tap him. Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's impressive that you don't get tapped, but it's not something to tout, you know? It's like guys who take a good punch. It's like, that's good. You don't lose a fight quickly, but you're still getting your ass kicked. It's like, it's not something to be proud of.
I don't know. Like, I thought that guy, he made the black belt look like a not-so-good fighter, Marcelo, yeah. when he made that guy tap. That was impressive to me.
Yeah, that's going to be a good fight.
I just think it's a shame it's happening in the first round. I thought this would have been a good second round or possible finale fight, because I'm with Steph.
Dominic fucked that up.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, it's sad that you get to see they're two both exciting fighters, and you know one of them's not going to be fighting again. And I'd rather see both of them fight people that, you know, that you might not think the other guy might not make it. You know, let's see more of, you know, what they have. But I think it'll be a good fight. And if they put on a really good show, I mean, you know, all these guys are going to, on the finale, they'll be on the undercard, you know, if they lose this first one. So, I mean, it's especially two guys like that. You know they're going to be back, but I'd like to see on the show have them get a little more exposure. But that's what happens.
A lot of seasons you do see some type of wild card scenario or some type of injury scenario. I mean, 3 months is a long time. So who knows? Training accidents happen all the time. You never know when one of these losers will get another shot. I mean, all of season 10 was advertised to us based on will Kimbo Slice get another shot at this.
I remember that. Me and Mike would watch that every week. And then at the end, Mike's like, oh, is it next week we're going to see Kimbo again? I'm like, don't listen to them, Mike. They're lying to you. Kimbo's never fighting again. I remember that season when someone got hurt or cut, they showed Kimbo on the other side of the gym raising his hands in victory like they were going to put him in the fight.
Oh, no. Mitrione stubbed his toe. Will Kimbo make his glorious return?
Yeah, you see him in the back on the elliptical looking at guys like, oh, that guy, he fell bad. Kimbo's ready. But, yeah, I thought this episode was good. I'm excited to see more episodes. And, you know, it seems like it's a good format. And unfortunately, the coaches aren't the most entertaining, but, you know, what are you going to do? They can't all be Rampage and Rashad, you know. But hopefully someone kicks a door. I want to see another door smash. That's always one of my favorite parts.
I think it has to be Uriah. We both know Dominic isn't going to finish the door.
I think last season, a couple of the fighters, you know how they come out, they kick that door open. As long as a door gets smashed and it's an accident, someone is bringing a heavy box through and they accidentally tip it, or whatever. I just want to see a door smashed.
Good old paper mache with chicken wire doors.
Yeah. Yeah, when Rampage smashed that door.
What those doors are made out of, man. Yeah. They're like made out of wicker.
Yeah. Dana keeps saying it's a regular door. I don't know, man.
Not that, because Rampage, when he broke it, he didn't like punch it or kick it. He tore it apart. No one just starts ripping a door.
And you know, if that door is an actual door, I'm truly scared of Rampage Jackson.
Dude's ripping phone books and shit. We don't even know.
By the way, we're talking about Kimbo. Let's throw this out there. They had Spike's been counter-programming pretty much all of UFC content. And last week, for the first week of TUF, they had Kimbo host old episodes of TUF. And the UFC response to that was great. They basically hired Kimbo, because Kimbo just wants money. They hired Kimbo to put out a commercial on Spike saying, watch The Ultimate Fighter, only on FX. The UFC got him to counter-program himself by telling people to watch the UFC on FX.
So I don't know why they're using Kimbo. I know he's still popular. I guess he's still popular. I don't know. But why do they keep giving this guy money? I'm like, whatever, dude.
I mean, maybe FX ratings aren't great, but when you're counter-programming someone with their own content, it's still advertising for the UFC. So
yeah, you're not hurting the UFC. I think you're pissing off Fox.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the UFC just does some math. They say we got this many people here, and then we add it to the other number we got on the other channel. We got this many total.
But I don't know, is UFC getting revenue streams from commercials that are on Spike still?
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah, then who gives
There's
a shit?
There's no way they can still air their content and not pay them.
Not being paid, yeah. Yeah, I think it's cool. But there was other fights. Granted, none of us here actually watched the whole Bellator event on Friday, but it did happen. It existed.
Oh, Bellator.
I barely watched
that whole fight. All I watched is the knockout.
That's all I saw, too, was the knockout. All
right, we'll get the knockout out of the way. Brian Rogers hit. No one even knows the other guy's name, huh? Anybody want to look this up, the other guy's name?
It was Victor
Oh, he knocked out Victor Viena. That's
something like even another Bellator. It was pretty good. So yeah. That was Vanderlei's jiu-jitsu coach, right? Isn't it Team Vanderlei? I'm not positive. I'm pulling up.
Yeah, that's a Vanderlei Silva.
Says no one's correcting me. I'm guessing Mark's right. Yeah. Thanks for confirming, Bob. Tip of the hat. But yeah, that was a good knockout. I mean, it's always good when anytime someone knocks them out and they do the walk away before it's officially over. You know, Mark Hunt style. UFC 2010 style. And then there was one other important fight. You had Falco from UFC fame. He fought, was it Harris that he fought in UFC, Gerald Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he won that fight, and then I guess he had visa problems, and they said, we can't deal with this guy. This fight was boring. You can't get over here. Forget him.
But I don't think it was just the visa problems. I think he got arrested for, like, assaulting someone at a club or something. It's just he had this history of, like, being a very violent person. So I think he just seemed all around more trouble than he was worth.
But he won by decision, right? This past on Friday.
Yeah, he won by decision. Yeah. No falcon punch. I'm so disappointed. Guy's got to get one of those in.
I mean, I don't know. You want to call and ask him?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
Why he's not getting one.
I'm like, dude, have you played Smash Brothers? Do you know that Falcon Punch is like a very popular thing? Let's get that done.
Maybe not in Brazil.
Fucking sub the guy and then do a cheap shot and punch him after. I don't care. I want to be able to say Falcon Punch.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Now I really, really just want to play a Smash Brothers. Do we have any system with a Smash Brothers?
I got my GameCube.
All right, that's going down tonight.
Man, you're still rocking the GameCube, man. Like
I had a Wii, but I sold it. That's just for kids.
Wait, so you sold the Wii and kept the GameCube?
Yeah, dude.
The GameCube, you sell that for like $10. You may as well keep it. There's no profit to be had.
Resident Evil remakes, man. Those things are bomb.
I mean, you realize your Wii can play GameCube games, right?
Yeah, but once you sell the Wii, you can't play the GameCube games unless you got a GameCube. So I kicked that shit to the curb. I kept, yeah, and like Stefan said, I wasn't going to get dog shit for my GameCube. They weren't going to give me shit. I'd get $20 for it. I said, fuck it.
And I think the show is completely
gone.
Yeah,
okay, I'm
going
to try to bring us back to, you know, the topic at hand. Bellator, okay, with Bellator 61, the main event was supposed to be the rematch of Eric, is it Pringle or Prindle?
I hope it's Pringle. Sounds delicious.
All right, Prindle versus Santos. The first fight ended when Santos kicked Prindle. Or who kicked who?
Yeah, Santos kicked.
Santos kicked Prindle square in the nuts.
Prindle was lying on the ground, and Santos just walked up to him, looked down at him, kicked him in the nuts. There was no accident. It wasn't a leg kick. It wasn't to the body. It was straight nut shot.
It was spread eagle, like pro wrestling style, right? So anyway, they were supposed to fight on Friday, but before the weigh-ins, Prindle was sick, apparently. And I guess the fight was delayed, partly because of that, and partly because Thiago Santos still weighed 300 pounds before the weigh-ins.
It's kind of hard to cut down to 265 when you weigh 300 pounds.
I mean, yep. Maybe the illness was just an excuse that he wasn't going to make that cut, or maybe the illness was legit and that's why he didn't bother cutting at all.
No, no, no. But the sick person and the 300-pound person are two different people.
Oh. Nah, I don't know then.
So professionalism all around on this card. Oh, since we talk about video games, we can bring this up. The Bellator video game.
Oh, Lord.
Mark, you want to take the lead on this?
Yeah, it looks like shit, dude. It's made from Kung Fu Factory. They made what was that other MMA game called? It just came out.
Supremacy?
Supremacy, yeah. MMA Supremacy, which is really bad game. Like, I'll buy almost any MMA video game, but I played the demo of that, and I was like, I can't buy this, man. This is not worth it. This has got to be a $10, $15 purchase at most that I'll drop it to play that game. So when I saw that Bellator had a trailer, I was like, oh, shit, that came out of nowhere. And then you see it, and it's like, this is fucking MMA Supremacy with Joe Warren's skin slapped on top. I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, I don't know why you'd get that developer to make it. They probably said that, look, we can make an MMA game for you. We can have it out in 3 months. No one else will be able to do that. So I'm like, all right, it's dog shit. At least this one will be a downloadable game, where Supremacy was a retail game. I think that's one of the bigger missteps because they put it as like $40. No one's going to pay $40 to play as, was it Jerome LeBanner? Who else was there? Shane Del Rosio. I mean,
and that one girl, the little bulldog, what's her name?
Oh, yeah. Felice
Herrig?
Yeah. And then there was one other chick. It was just a bad game.
Well, as if it's going to be a downloadable game, I mean, I don't think it will cost more than $20, $25 because I don't think anyone's clamoring for the Bellator video game.
Yeah. I think the way it worked out is they just wanted to put a game out there. It's like, I mean, this is a long time ago. I remember Acclaim used to make the WWF games. Wasn't there one called, like, Attitude or something or another?
Yeah, Warzone Attitude.
And then they stopped making the games because WWF was straight went THQ with everything. And then ECW, a game came out on Acclaim, and it was horrible. It just looked like they just, you know, changed, you know, the characters to be like ECW wrestlers.
Yeah, but Acclaim had Don't Make Me Put My Boot Up Your Ass.
That's true.
Doesn't remember this.
Yeah.
There's no finger movement in this game.
Yeah. Bellator.
That's classic.
Making big moves.
Yeah, game looks like shit.
Yeah, but also with Bellator, apparently they weren't so thrilled with the ratings last week, considering Spike TV was pumping that shit for, you know, they were advertising the hell out of the first Bellator, and there was a, you know, a championship fight. And they have that new show on Bellator, I mean on Spike, called MMA Uncensored, which is half a Bellator commercial. That's not good either, by the way. Not a good show.
Yeah, anyway. It's sad. It's sad they don't get ratings. I don't know what they're going to do. They'll figure it out. They'll go bankrupt.
Well, I mean, they can just air more Mansers if they're really desperate.
They got 18 season of Mansers just waiting.
I'm still a big fan of Deadliest Warrior. Granted, I don't know when it's on anymore, and they replaced the nerdy guy, but good show.
Well, more importantly, Deadliest Warrior is on Netflix, so I've been watching that while at work. I hope no one from work hears this.
Sure, they're all watching.
Sanchez, right, I watched an episode of Spartacus at work. That shows me what I do.
You're saying is that you watch softcore porn while you're at work.
You know it. The only place to watch.
All right. Other big news this week was the saga of Rampage Jackson continued. Rampage was still complaining, like 10 days later, about anything and everything. And then the UFC announced that they were going to discuss Rampage's future on UFC Tonight, the UFC, you know, theme show on Fuel TV. And on that show, it was announced that Rampage Jackson was going to take on Shogun in his last UFC fight sometime this summer. And then after that, he would be, you know, allowed to go and make $50,000 and getting his check bounced in Japan, probably. So that was announced, and then Rampage seemed, you know, happy enough. But then 2 days later, he said he needed double knee surgery, which is exactly what you want to hear about a guy who's, you know, been fighting as long as Rampage has. The fight's delayed. I don't know. He hasn't said what kind of knee injury, but no earlier than the end of the year. Even that's pushing it, I think. What do you guys think?
Well, did Dana say this is going to be his last fight, or do you think there's a chance they'll renegotiate for a new contract?
Oh, I don't think there's any way he's leaving if that's a good fight.
I mean, Rampage is pretty fickle. He gets upset all the time, and, you know, he just said, well, TRT is going to allow him to fight another 10 years after he was so adamant that he was going to retire at 35, so you know, you take Rampage's, whatever he says, with a grain of salt, but per his present contract, I guess he's, you know, if everything stands as we know now, it looks like his final fight will be against Shogun whenever this happens.
I don't see him going to any other promotions. It's, he wouldn't. I mean, he's not going to get paid the way he gets paid in the UFC anywhere else.
Yeah. We've seen this before with Ortiz and Couture. You know, they're really top names, and they didn't like their contract, and they didn't like how they're being marketed from Dana, you know, whatever. And they both left and said they were going to fight in other organizations, and they never did. So that might happen to Rampage, too.
Yeah, I think he's not going anywhere. Rampage retired, you know. He didn't retire during the whole Rashad shit. When he had to leave to do the A-team and whatnot.
I think I remember him saying something like that.
Yeah, that was like a 2-month retirement. So I don't know. I think he's just sensitive, and Rampage doesn't really let shit, you know, play out at all. He just decides that moment And then he just, you know, turns back on it months later.
It'll be a good fight if it happens, though.
I don't know. I think Shogun will destroy him when they meet again.
I know. I think Shogun can't go this long without fighting.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he'll have a fight in between if he's going to be out until December.
I don't know. It depends how long he's out. They're probably going to wait and see what kind of surgery it is.
I don't know how you could. I mean, I know Shogun's a fragile guy, but I don't know how you're going to put anything on Rampage at this point. Shogun has at least had impressive performances in recent memory. I can't really recall the last time Rampage really looked anything like a good fighter.
Well, okay. You
know, even
I didn't say Rampage is going to win. He just said Rampage is going to get destroyed. And I didn't think that was. I don't think anybody's destroying Rampage unless his name is John Jones. All right. At this point,
Rampage
I just don't think it's
Rampage.
Yeah, Shogun destroyed him before, and that was a younger man then. So it's possible.
Also much. I don't know. I don't think that was when Shogun could kick people in the face when they were on the ground. Also,
that's true.
I have a couple words for you, Bobby. Double knee surgery.
You know, we both know Shogun's going to need two surgeries between now and December anyway.
Double knee surgery, and Shogun is the guy who unloaded on Machida's legs. So all signs point to Rampage getting destroyed.
And yeah. Don't forget, Rampage just doesn't know how to check leg kicks either.
He doesn't know what to do with them. He likes to eat them. His favorite meal.
All right, we're going to make a bet. We're going to find what destroyed means, and I'm taking Rampage and not getting destroyed, and you guys are all taking destroyed.
Destroyed means humbled.
If Rampage gets destroyed, we all get to kick you in the knee.
How is that nice?
Oh, we're betting
legs. I didn't say it was nice.
Fine.
Betting legs.
But then if I win, yeah, I get to hit you all in the knee with a baseball bat.
Well, that's not really a kick then. Okay, fine.
You guys
Bobby,
are three people kicking one knee.
You get to kick us with a baseball bat. So however you pull moving a baseball bat with your feet... Have at.
Fine, you guys can punch me in the knee.
You gotta do. That's the bet. Okay, we get a kick Bobby. He has to use his legs somehow to hit a baseball bat with our knee. So I think this is going to be Bobby kicking a baseball bat at us. I don't know how it's going to work.
I think I'm just going to break the rules and swing the bat.
Well, you said kick. You said kick, so we got to go with
that.
Well,
I'm a liar.
Well, Bobby, it is recorded. It is going to be on the internet, which means it's true and factual. And
no. So, I'm agreeing with all this. I'm just going to lie when the time comes. Pick up the bat and swing at your knee.
Well, then you're going to breach a contract. I'm going to have to hire you to sue yourself, Bobby.
Fine. So, yeah. Oh, also, Rampage had a 45-minute interview with that girl from MMA Heat. And
anyone watch it?
No, well, just... No one's watching that video because this is really that girl's. Her cameraman is her husband, and all she
does
is flirt with fighters.
That's the one who had the famous another famous incidents with Rampage.
There's some sort of weird cuckold stuff going on there. Cage Potato wrote an article about this, man. How like she just flirts with fighters and her husband films it, and with Rampage it's just really like, I don't know. It's very weird.
I just appreciate that you're just bringing up the vocabulary game of this, podcast by using cuckold.
Yeah, everybody knows. Everybody's watching enough porn to know what cuckold is.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, after Ariel, after I've seen him do interviews, like I can't watch other interviews. Like he's so much more professional. His questions are so much more relevant that it's hard to watch other interviews because they just seem pointless compared. It's like, man, I just wish Errol would interview this guy instead of this person or that person. I think, like Bobby said, he went to journalism school. He's legit. And the other guys, I mean, other websites are more like us. You know, they're fans first, and they're trying their best to, you know, have some integrity and journalistic ability. But Errol's got a lockdown. He went to school. He's professional. And it shows in his work.
Now, I mean, Ariel just didn't go to school. He went to the Newhouse School at Syracuse University.
Oh, snap.
It's basically Sportscaster University he went to.
I mean, if you just want an example of journalism at its worst, look no further than Showtime's production with Tate Rousey. Blanking on her name, but that lady they have as a field reporter in the backstage is, yeah, she just her stupid questions to Rhonda. Rhonda looked like she wanted to kill her, like... Is this bitch serious?
Oh, Heidi
right now?
Andrel.
Did this bitch really just say that shit?
Yeah, so, that was good though. I like that. That made it interesting. Yeah, but most of her interviews don't have that flair of the fighter being all pissed off. They're just kind of ho hum and kind of boring. But that was good. I mean, Tate really looked like she was going to rip off her arm just to get a little practice in before the fight. Yeah. Oh, I said Tate. Yeah. Tate interview was, that was bad. That's a good example. Tate was bad. Ronda's interview was good and entertaining because it literally looked like she was going to kill somebody. And then she did. She did it later.
Oh, Tate doesn't need surgery.
Yeah, like at all. I guess she didn't break anything.
I don't know what's going on with Tate.
That's very those surprised. Are some rubber so, ligaments that she has then.
Goddamn bionic woman.
If she doesn't need any surgery, that means there was no ligaments damage. You can't just not – you need ligaments put back together and shit, right?
Yeah.
Women are more flexible, including in the elbow joint of where it's not supposed to go. She didn't tap. She clearly she was fine. It was a bad stoppage, apparently.
I think she did tap.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Did she?
I think so.
Yeah, she did.
I think when it was
that referee
broken.
Was not going to stop it. He didn't give a shit. She ripped off the arm. He's like, well, you got one arm now. This fight with
it's after the elbow was like this, I
guess.
Yeah,
it was all fucked up. Awesome fight. Yeah. Love it. All right. What else we got? What else happened, guys?
Well, as we all know, nothing's happening. But UFC, what, they finally finalized the card for UFC 146.
Yeah, nothing's happening right now, but future things are happening.
Yes. And this card, let me just run down this card for you people. We got a main event, Junior Dos Santos versus Alistair Overeem. Co-main event, a number one contenders match between former champions Cain Velasquez and Frank Veer. Another heavyweight bout, Antonio Bigfoot Silva versus Big Country Roy Nelson. We have one more heavyweight bout between the Super Samoan Mark Hunt and Stefan Skyscraper Struve. And what do you know? One more heavyweight bout. Gabriel Napao Gonzaga versus Shane, I don't know his nickname, Del Rosario.
Nice. Shane, I think he's a half Filipino, Del Rosario.
So if you guys weren't paying attention to that right there, that is five pay heavyweight fights on the main card. This whole thing could take 35 minutes.
You know what we might have the prospect of? A lot of guys gassed by the second round.
I don't we're think not, that. I think the guys in, will just be knocked Denver. Out.
These are fairly good. I can't think of... I mean, Roy's been gassed in fights, but it's in fights where he got his ass kicked. So I don't think he was out of shape as so much he was getting beat up. And if you've ever been beat up, it's very physically exhausting. So
had a lot of experience with that stuff, Paul?
A little bit. I've been gassed from being punched a lot. It happens being the baby brother, you know? You got a lot of people who sit on you as a child.
Yeah, the only time I think Roy was really out of shape was against, I mean, he was always fat, but against Frank Mir when he looked like his cardio was really bad.
Again, though, a lot of knees to the face. He kept getting kneed in the face.
Yeah, but with Werdum and Dos Santos, that was just a, you know, a beatdown. But I like this five heavyweight fight thing. I think it's pretty awesome.
And I think it's entertaining. Everyone likes heavyweight fights because, like Sanchez said, they usually get tired at some point. Which I mean, every. Fun heavyweight fight that I saw. It's usually because two guys just get tired and they're like, get a swing and he'll swing and someone's going to win impressively at some point. And I could see some of that because there's some guys on the card, some guys that are legit. I mean, Junior and Alistair, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are in shape and there's a couple guys in there like Mark Hunt, he might get tired, but he fights better when he gets tired anyways. And then, I mean, there's a couple guys in there you might be like, oh man, especially Shane since he hasn't fought since the car accident, which was that like 2 years ago? How long ago was that car accident he was in?
How long ago was that?
It was about a year and a half, I want to say. But yeah, he's been inactive for over a year now.
He hasn't fought anybody since
then. He was a very promising prospect up to that point.
February 12, 2011, his last fight against LeVar Big Johnson.
Okay. Oh, it was just about a year too long, yeah. So yeah, I mean, but it looks, on paper, it looks entertaining as all hell. I mean, that's a hard one not to divvy up some money for. I mean, even... if it was just Alistair and Junior, that's enough to get a lot of people's pay-per-view buys. And then you have all these exciting, seemingly exciting heavyweight matchups. I think that'll be a big card for the UFC.
I mean, overall, this card is, we didn't even mention the undercard. You know, it looks like Gonzaga and Del Rosario were moved to the main card just so they could make it an all heavyweight affair. But, I mean, you got a lot of legit names like, you know, you have Jason Miller, Dan Hardy, you know, Mike Brown, former featherweight champion and tough winner of the last season, Diego Brandão, will be making his debut. So this is going to be a very exciting card from top to bottom. It's probably one of the most excited I've been about any card that the UFC's put on in some time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at these matchups. I don't see a bad one here. And also, you got the debut of Glover Teixeira taking on Kyle Kinsbury. So you got that also. You got Dalloway versus Jason Miller. Mayhem tries to save his job. Dalloway also probably tries to save his job.
Dan Hardy's trying to save his job. He loses again. Five fight losing streak.
But I think what we're all really, really looking forward to is the question, can Jason Miller redeem himself by having an entertaining walkout? Because that was some bullshit you gave me, even though you told me to get really hyped on Twitter. I listened to you, Jason Miller. I wanted to buy your shirt, Jason Miller. What the fuck was all that clapping?
You know, I don't blame Mayhem for that. I think the UFC just castrates fight entrances.
No, I'm blaming Mayhem. Mayhem said it was going to be good. Okay, I'm sorry. He could have just said nothing at all, and I would have been like, well, I guess there's not going to be anything good.
I don't think you can blame the UFC because Filthy Tom Lawler did give us the Hulk Hogan with the Lawler Mania, the I Am a Real American intro. So if Lawler can pull that out, Jason Miller should be able to give us something besides.
I'm still waiting for Lawler to give us the Gracie train to the weigh-ins. I believe we were promised that once.
That'd be good. The Gracie train?
Yeah, I remember him saying he wanted to do a Gracie train.
He was doing a series of weigh-in things where he was paying homage to old guys. He did the old Just Bleed. He did Dan Severn. He did the what's his name with the one boxing glove?
What was that guy? Art Jimerson.
Art Jimerson. So I think that's why the Gracie train was supposed to happen. Is he was supposedly paying homage to all the early UFC guys through his costumes and weigh-ins. I know he did. The last one I recall was when he did Steven Seagal with the shooting range glasses.
No, we saw him live. He did at the weigh-ins. He did Steven Seagal. I don't know. I think at the actual fight, he did Olivia Newton-John. Let's get physical. Wasn't he wearing a headband?
Yeah,
something that was like that.
Good. That was good. Yeah,
he had the stretchy thing going. Yeah. He was getting his exercise on. It's too bad he got tired during the entrance. And he looked like shit in the fight.
Well, he got choked in like 2 minutes. I don't know how tired he was.
Oh, he was exhausted, man. You think that stretchy thing's easy, Bobby? He wore himself out.
Oh.
I mean, to be fair, it was to Chris Weidman, who's looking more and more like a legitimate prospect every day. So it's just he also kind of ran into a guy who probably is just better than him.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Oh, yeah, Weidman, who fought Damian Maia, who in news this week said he's moving down to 170.
I mean,
Maya's moving to 170.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
if he still wants to box there, it's not going to look any prettier.
Maybe if the wrestlers force him to use his jiu-jitsu, he'll get good again.
I think the wrestlers know, I'll just box with this guy. This guy's terrible at it. I may as well just stand with him. He clearly wants to.
That was terrible. Damian Maya's, I think he looked worse there than when he got knocked out in 9 seconds.
I mean, I think it's a good move, though. I think he can make the cut with not that much difficulty, but I mean he's looked so bad in the last couple fights that
it's just tough to see where he's going from here. You know, he's not a young dude. I just, you know, it's tough to see what does he want to do and accomplish in MMA. Like,
I mean, maybe he figures that he tried beating Anderson Silva, that didn't work out too well. Maybe he'll try GSP if he can get on a fight streak.
That's not happening. I don't know how he'd even do that. How is he going to beat all these wrestlers?
Which isn't going to happen? Him winning against GSP or him winning a couple fights in a row?
Him making it to the GSP fight. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at his thing, there's not been an instance where any like wrestler just ground controls and stuffs him. You know, it's because he falls in love with his striking and he's simply not good enough at it. I don't recall a fight where, you know, some wrestler just held him down. So
I'm saying all these wrestlers are going to stand up and punch him in the face.
No, that's a very likely scenario.
The entire division,
I mean,
wrestlers.
Welterweight is one of the deepest divisions right with there with lightweight, so it's
They're
a long
all wrestlers
climb.
At welterweight also. It's all wrestlers than Nick Diaz and Carlos Condit.
I don't want to talk about that guy.
Carlos Condit is not a topic of discussion on this call. Right.
I think you should retract that statement and just leave it at that. We don't know anybody by that name.
How about Greg Jackson? Do we know Greg Jackson?
We know Greg Jackson. He's the ruiner of MMA.
And he's also a fan of this podcast.
Yeah, I got that drop from him. He's going to be ecstatic to hear us shit all over him. Guy, yeah, his fights are boring, but his guys win. So, I mean, and in the UFC, that's what counts.
He does his job. He's a great coach. He's a great gym leader. I'm just not a fan of most of his guys.
That's and don't forget a gem that apparently needs its honor defended.
Oh, yes. John Jones is going to defend banner. The honor of Team Jackson. You know, we're not going to dive into the John Jones thing this week. We promise you next week it's going to be almost an entire episode of us complaining about John Jones.
I love John Jones. John Jones is the greatest fighter on the planet. He will fuck up your heroes. Whoever you guys like, John Jones will murder them.
I want to see John Jones try to fight at 185 pounds against Anderson Silva. See how he does without his left leg.
I want to see John Jones. I want to see John Jones help drug addicts by beating the weakness out of them. That's what I want to see. They come to the clinic. He beats them up. My weakness is gone. I'm going to go get a job. I'm going to turn my life around. That's what he does.
Are you sure you want to inject that needle of heroin? Are you sure? How about now?
Yeah, why put a needle into your arm when he'll just cut you open and you can just drip drugs right into your face? It seems even easier. Yeah, John Jones, they'll be next week. Amazing man.
Amazing man.
He's so good on the mic.
Jones.
You got to love his honesty, how nervous he was on live television.
Oh, man. If anybody remembers this, back in January, John Jones was in the booth for the UFC on Fox 2. And I don't know, nothing was working. Speaking off the cuff, reading the paper, he was just sweating.
During a commercial break, he responded to a fan's advice on Twitter. Twitter's like, dude, stop reading from the paper. He's like, all right, I think I'll try that.
Yeah, he just wrote, man, I'm so nervous.
And when you're taking broadcast skills advice from people on Twitter, you know that's going downhill.
I think what made it even worse, though, is that Randy Couture was right next to him, looking like the consummate professional as well. Like, this is how a fighter commentating should look. Like, I was just thinking, where's Lesnar? Can we get Lesnar in the booth?
Yeah, Lesnar was funny.
Yeah, in a completely non-racist way, when you had John Jones and Randy Couture, it was like day and night.
They should have Lesnar on all the time. Lesnar was only funny because when they showed, they kept showing him getting beat up by Cain Velasquez. And he's like, do we need to see this right now? Come on, man. I got beat.
Brock keeps it real, man. He's not placating, you know. He doesn't want to see that shit.
I mean, not in a funny note, but I guess while we're on the subject, you know, someone who was really good at it was Brian Stann, if you saw on the Fuel broadcast. Like, I thought probably of all the fighters who give commentary and actual fight analysis, granted it was mostly after the fact because he wasn't on the live broadcast, I thought Stan was one of the really better guys, and I would honestly prefer him to Florian for those live broadcasts for like FX or Fuel, because I'm not really a big fan of Florian on the mic. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think he just somehow comes off with a very slanted opinion when he talks about a lot of things. But overall, I've never enjoyed hearing him on the mic that much.
Yeah, I'm not big on Kenny as a commentator. He's okay as an analyst on shows, I think. I think he's okay there, but as a commentator, that team of him and Anik kind of blows.
I mean, Stefan Bonner, when he used to commentate for WEC, was pretty good.
I thought Frank Mir was the man, personally. I think Frank Mir is really smart. His only problem is that he knows he's really smart. He's a little bit arrogant.
Yeah, I think that's why Stan was so good. He's really articulate. He's really intelligent. He gets excited, but he doesn't get super excited where he's screaming at you and stuff. He just keeps a nice, not like monotone, but like a nice level the whole way through. Like, he's explaining stuff really, you know, really simplistically, so people who don't know anything about MMA can follow what he's talking about. And I think, yeah, he's really good on the mic.
So you guys think he's a color commentator, maybe, instead of Kenny?
I've come to the conclusion, if he's ever in a movie, he will be played by Channing Tatum.
You mean Steve Tates?
See Tates. Tyler Gage. In the building.
I don't know if they're going to ever make a movie about Brian Stann. They already did.
Yo, he stood up to a warrior. Tank. He's not scared of no one.
I thought it's Act of Valor. No? That's part of that whole deal? I don't remember what branch he was in.
Oh, shooting before over. We go, we can talk about this. Gilbert Melendez is going to fight on the May 19th Strikeforce card. The main event of that card is Daniel Cormier versus Josh Barnett, finally ending that tournament. It was presumed that Gilbert's next opponent was Josh Thompson, but Gilbert said he's not fighting Josh Thompson. So, and Cesar Gracie's pushing for BJ Penn or Anthony Pettis as an opponent. I don't think either of that's happening. So what do you guys got? Who's Gilbert fighting?
The name I've been hearing come up the most, which would kind of be interesting, is Gray Maynard. Just for the fact that Gray really doesn't have anything to do right now. You know, having lost to Frankie Edgar twice in a row, he's kind of, even though it's a new champion, he's kind of going to be a bit of a climb back to the lightweight title. He's been, and then I just also think it's an interesting angle that since he's kind of been training with AKA lately, it kind of furthers the AKA Cesar Gracie rivalry that they have here in Northern California. So, I mean, it seems like an interesting one-off or possible move to me, just because I think, you know, especially also if Gilbert fights Gray, that's a true test of where he would stand in the UFC. Because, you know, Gray has strong boxing and is a very good wrestler. He's the exact type of test you need to know if someone is a championship caliber fighter in the UFC.
Yeah, but Gilbert just signed an extension with Strikeforce. He's not going to be in the UFC for a while. So what's the point in any of these fighters taking this fight?
What do you mean, the point for Gilbert or the point for the fighters?
Well, I think for either. I mean, he's not going to fight under the UFC banner anytime soon.
Yeah, well, for Gilbert, it's a known quantity, and it's like a legitimate fighter. You know, these other guys are guys he's already beat or don't really represent a challenge. I think there's interest if you bring in a top-level UFC guy.
The only name I've heard so far that – okay, first of all, I think it's almost definitely Pat Bam Bam Healy because I think he won, and he didn't look crappy like Josh Thompson did. So, I mean, I think that's almost certainly the matchup. But assuming it's not that, the name I've heard that makes the most sense for me is Clay Guida. Because I don't think Maynard's going to leave the UFC. I don't think Maynard has any interest in leaving the UFC. I think Guida, if nothing else, would be going to try to get that win back. Because he lost to Gilbert, what was it, like 5-6 years ago at least?
Something like that.
I think at least Clay Guida has some incentive to go to the Strikeforce.
I mean, wasn't he the Strikeforce champion back in the day anyways?
Mm-hmm.
Back when it was a local promotion?
Yeah, I think he was the first one.
He beat Josh Thompson, right?
Yeah, in the first event they had. I think it seems like a stretch for these UFC guys to come to Strikeforce because it's never happened before. It's a stretch, especially since we have no idea who he's fighting. It's a stretch to say Maynard or Guida is going to come over because there's been no talk about UFC guys coming over. So, I mean, that seems unlikely. Like, I think Bobby said Pat
Healy. There has been talk. It's Cesar Gracie doing all the talking.
Yeah, but Cesar Gracie doesn't run the show, you know. So, I mean, I think Pat Healy, it's not a very entertaining fight. It's not very exciting. That seems more likely because he's in the organization. To have someone from UFC go to Strikeforce to fight for the belt seems far-fetched because we haven't seen it yet. If it happens, I'm all for it. I'm all for guys coming over from the UFC and mixing it up. I think that's an awesome idea. I don't know why they haven't really done it. But it doesn't seem likely at this point. When it happens, then we can start talking about these dream matchups a little more seriously. But right now, since it hasn't, it's kind of pipe dreams.
I don't see how this happens. I mean, it's Strikeforce is the minor leagues. It's like sending Derek Jeter down to the Trenton Thunder. There's no point. Just send them all to the UFC. Blow up Strikeforce already.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that so much, especially if UFC is kind of taking the best aspects of Strikeforce, the heavyweight division, a lot of their champions have moved over, then it's just like you're draining this division, which is like a minor league. So it's either just like scrap and have everyone over there or just really just have it be minor league and have the top guys graduate. You become champion, you defend it 2 times, then you get a call to the UFC for like a number one title shot or something or something along those lines. But just having
Bobby and I joke about it, but it seems like it'd work if it worked just like football/soccer relegation in Europe, you know, the champion gets to come over, you lose 3 or 4 in a row, you get sent down. Like Dan Hardy on a 4-fight losing streak, go fight, I don't know, who's down there, you know, Tarek Saffedine, Tyron Woodley, you fight those guys to get back in.
I think the only problem, like, I think that's a really good idea. The only problem is, I think Showtime is not interested in that. And I think they said that Gilbert Melendez remaining part of Strikeforce was part of the reason Showtime agreed to extend the contract. I don't think Showtime's interested in having a minor league show airing.
Yeah.
I think that's why they have to keep a certain number. I think Gilbert's the only one they're keeping over there that's
relevant.
You know, I mean, there's other guys who are getting better and you want them to come over, but Gilbert's the one that
he has a name, he has
now.
Skills. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be more beneficial if they had the UFC guys come down to Strikeforce. I mean, guys like Dan Hardy, I mean, he's been struggling, but he has a name, and I'm sure he has a lot of fans that would follow him into Strikeforce. So it's only going to help Strikeforce build up a bigger audience, and then hopefully, you know, people will see that, yeah, there's some good fighters here. You know, maybe this is a product that's worth watching, and if my, you know, favorite fighter, Dan Hardy, is not fighting on it, maybe I'll check it out next time. I think it could do a lot of help. It could help out Strikeforce a lot.
He's got to be Showtime. That's the thing. If they're willing to let this happen,
but why wouldn't Showtime want? Why wouldn't Showtime want big name guys who maybe are on a losing streak, but they have a name? They'll bring in more eyes. Hopefully, you'd think that
it's
with more
the
fans.
Perception that those guys are
losers,
not UFC caliber. So it's something lesser than a full fledged.
Yeah, but that's
thing.
You know, they need to embrace that, man. I mean, people know that there's lesser talent in Strikeforce besides, you know, Gilbert Belendez.
Yeah, but like I said, like they got all these promotions. Well, I mean, not the promotions, but like the networks they're on are kind of work on the mentality that they're creating the number one promotion. That's like last week we were talking about. I don't think it's been accepted that, all right, the UFC is a number one promotion, and we're going to try to slide in behind there. They're still trying to take down the number one promotion, it seems like. So when they're trying to do that, it's hard. I mean, obviously Showtime's not trying to take down the UFC, but they want to have the premier MMA organization. If they're going to air the product, they don't want to be showing, you know, the NBA D League. You know, they want to be saying that they're showing the best.
Yeah, they want to be considered equal. I mean, obviously with Strikeforce and UFC under the same banner, there's no logical reason why they want Strikeforce to become bigger, but they want to be equal. They want to say, like, the Strikeforce champion is just as relevant and is just as talented as a UFC champion, not that they're second rate. But that's a hard sell because, I mean, UFC has the branding there, and everyone, you know, links MMA and UFC together. So when you tell them about Strikeforce, like, oh, that's the smaller league. It's, I don't know what it's about. It's probably not that good because it's not, you know, if it was so good, then, you know, why isn't it, why don't I hear about it? You know, why isn't anyone talking about it?
That's true. I mean, it's an interesting debate. But back to the Gilbert thing, I'm almost certain it's going to be Bam Bam Healy because I don't know who else. I don't, Guida again was the only one that made even a little bit of sense to me, and even him, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, he has contracts with the UFC. It's why would they do that? It doesn't make a lot of logical sense.
Yeah, and Guido was one fight away from fighting for the lightweight championship. Why would he go down to Strikeforce?
I think it'd only be to try to get that win back, the one that he all those years ago. That'd be the only reason.
Yeah, but he has other losses that he could avenge in the UFC that he might think is a little more important, a little more relevant.
I don't know. Depends what they're offering him also.
You know, like Ben Henderson, maybe.
He's not fighting Ben Henderson again for a while.
Yeah, but it's too bad because I think we all know, and people who know Gilbert know how exciting he is. And as a fan of his for a long time, I want to see him get the recognition because I think he puts, you know, exciting fights on for the most part. I mean, his last couple fights, the Masvidal fight wasn't super exciting. But for the most part, he puts on really exciting fights. So you want to see him get the recognition. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that see that new Tap Out commercial with Chael and Bader. And there's one other fighter on
Bonner.
There. Bonner, and they're like, and then they see Gilbert, and like, who the hell's this guy? You know, like, I know these guys. These guys are on fucking UFC. And then there's some Hispanic-looking guy. They probably think he's a trainer. He's a janitor or something. They don't know that. You're looking at a bad motherfucker right there. You need to give him credit. But, you know, I think in due time, I think at some point he'll fight in the UFC. Before his career's up, he'll fight in the UFC. And hopefully him and Eddie Alvarez and some of these guys that are super exciting, they'll get
Eddie
the recognition.
Eddie Alvarez loses to Aoki again. Eddie Alvarez has some serious problems to deal with.
I don't think he'll lose to Aoki again, but you never know. He's got that wild card that ground game so good. He could beat anybody, you know.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for this week, guys. Solid episode. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/itsamamazing. If you want to see our individual Twitter accounts, you can see them on itsamamazing.com on the right side of the page. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week where, unless something interesting happens, we're going to be talking about what's wrong with John Jones and why he's never going to be Muhammad Ali. So,
well,
yeah.
we're also doing our broadcast earlier in the week this
Yeah,
next
so if you're
time,
listening
so...
live, it's going to be on Wednesday. But if you're listening on iTunes, we'll try to have it up on the same time, late Sunday, early Monday morning.
This will probably be a good thing, you know, there's no chance that Syracuse can lose before Wednesday, so trust me, if we don't win the national championship, there will be at least a 20-minute segment devoted to my ranting about SU basketball, just so you guys know this.
And Oregon right now is up 4 points against Iowa for the NIT, the not-invited tournament. We will take the second-place tournament. We are happy being the stepchildren.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Have a nice
Please
week.
Remember to spay and neuter your pets.
All right. Have an It's an Amazing Week. Later.
All right. See you guys Wednesday. All
right, guys. Right. Bye.